The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. The Gospel of our Lord. Let us pray. Pour down your Holy Spirit upon our hearts. Water the seed of your gospel within us so that it may flourish in ways that surprise us, that startle us, that invite us into a deeper walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Just to give you a heads up, we're going to spend some time in Mark. There are about 7 more chapters in Mark that we're going to be going through in this lectionary season. And the kingdom of God is a major theme throughout the readings that we will be attending to. Last week, if you recall, the kingdom was an important piece that came out of the reading, the first reading, Samuel, God's people, wanted a king. And they wanted a king because they wanted to be like all the other nations. And that was clear. It's in the text. But also, they wanted a king to do their battles. And so Samuel, who is the prophet and really who had really the voice of God in the midst of God's people, is feeling a bit rejected by this desire for a king. And God does some pastoral care with Samuel. God comes down to Samuel's heart through his word and says to Samuel, "Please know, Samuel, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. In fact, this desire for king, we've been in the middle of this for a while. God says, since they left Egypt, they've looked around, they want to be like the other nations. So in many ways, Samuel, they're actually rejecting me, my way of being with my people. This is what's at play here. They want to be like the other nations. So Samuel, here's what I need you to do. I need you to enumerate what life under the king looks like." And Samuel does. And if you recall, the one word that kept coming out, the repetitive piece that came out of that first reading from last week was take. He will take your sons and place them before his chariot in war. He'll take your daughters for his courts as perfumers. He will take your resources from your farms, from the land that you till, from the land that you harvest, and he will feed himself and also those that are part of his court. He will take. And so this kingdom of taking, you figure folks might say, you know what, well, hold on a second. My son, my daughter, you're coming into this intimate spaces. This king, this kingdom entails reordering the way that we do family, the way that we are together. Yes, that's what we're talking about, Samuel says. And what do they say? Yeah, give it to us. We want to be like the other nations. Give us a king. Jesus is preaching about the kingdom of God, But if you recall, we have to take into account that Jesus is living, was born, raised, existing within that framework of we want a king. And he comes into the world once again as God's love poured out into the world to remind everyone that God seeks to be the center of God's people's heart. God seeks to be the center. God is the king. God is the one who is in their midst, and the kingdom has come near. The kingdom of God. It's one of those big concepts again in Mark. And Jesus uses parables in order to detail, in order to unpack what this kingdom means. And a parable, if you recall, is a story that's thrown alongside life, parabole. It's a small vignette that is told in order to sort of unravel the meaning of something that we may just simply understand on the surface. A parable is a story, an important story, again, to open up a truth. So why does Jesus use parables? Well, because I think we're naturally compelled to good stories. Who doesn't love a good story? And so a story, sometimes a really good story, can disarm us, can put down sort of our walls, and we listen. We open our hearts and we open a space for a good story. So Jesus is a good storyteller. Another reason? Because parables make abstract ideas very concrete. Kingdom of God, that's huge. How do we make this land? How can we understand something so abstract? It's like me trying to make you understand beauty, right? But I can take you out into the garden or point to the flowers and say, that's what it looks like. Because typically we understand things best through picture than through abstraction. Jesus enlists parables as a way to bring the abstract into the concrete, as a way to bring it in front of the hearts and minds of his listeners. Another advantage of parables is that it makes hard truth palatable. Because of our limited understanding or because of our resistance. Sometimes hard truth is hard to process. Has anyone ever told you something you just said, oh no, that's not me, but it's clearly you? You know, it's like when my sons tell me, Dad, you're such a stubborn person. I'm like, no, I'm not stubborn. Stop it. I'm not stubborn. It's a clear truth. We resist the truth. A parable comes along to sort of open us up, to receive hard truth, redeeming truth, truth that will set us free. It's a little like getting your kids to eat their veggies by mixing them with bananas or something, right? Remember doing that? Nowadays, we have gummies for everything, right? Gummy veggies, gummy vitamins, gummies, you name it. It's one way to ensure that we get, I don't know how much value there is into gummy veggies, I don't know. You can, you know, do the research on that, but they sell them at these organic stores. So parables, these hard truths, by using parables, Jesus is wrapping the truth of God in the enticing flavor of a good story. So Jesus teaches with parables, wants us to step out of ourselves and to step into a world of possibilities where God is disclosing God's love and life for us in ways that promise to release us, to strengthen us, to help us flourish. My mom used to use parables all the time. I don't know where she got her parables. I know some of them were from Scripture. But if I did something dumb, like stay home from school and sleep in, she'd walk into the room and just open the door and just say something like this. I'll never forget this one. Look to the way of the sluggard. A little folding of the hands, a little slumber, and destruction will suddenly befall you. I was up. Mom, write me a letter for the attendance office. I went off to school. There is no sluggard here. There is no destruction coming my way. No thanks. About a month ago, Ian was at home. He said he was going to stay home from school. And I heard senioritis, and I thought, don't give me this now. You're on your way to college. You need to finish strong. You need to go all the way. And so I launched into look to the way of the sluggard young man. A little folding of the hands, a little slumber, and destruction will suddenly befall you. And my son responded with the statement that most young people use today. Wait, what? Sluggard? Dad, I said it's senior ditch day, not senioritis. The administration knows we're not going to be at school. None of my friends are going to be at school. And I said, oh, okay. Senior ditch, okay, gosh, all right. So here's what I need you to do. I need you to go to school because you're not a follower, you're a leader, right? Like that was going to happen. Senior ditch day. I walked away thinking, what a racket. The administration knows. That's not a ditch day. When a ditch day when I was, no one knew, right? You went to a friend's apartment or hung out. But this is senior ditch day. It's on the calendar. It's on the district calendar. And I thought to myself, that little parable might be work, but it didn't. Jesus knows that to another to disclose the truth of the gospel, a story opens our hearts. Because it's not so much about grasping the truth as much as the truth grasping us and guiding us and leading us. Yes, it's both. That we grasp the truth that Jesus is inviting us to enter into, but also to allow that truth to grasp our hearts and to guide our lives. The kingdom of God is like someone that was throwing seed. Yes, kingdom. Your idea of the kingdom may be armies and protection and battle and strength and might, like the Romans or the Persians or the Babylonians. But Jesus says it's small. It's very small. It's scattered like seed. It's like a mustard seed. Have I got your attention yet, Jesus says? It's not what you're hoping and thinking about. And mind you, Jesus is having a conversation with fishermen. And this is important. I think it's the first lesson of our lesson. That Jesus is having a conversation with fishermen about farming. To get to know the kingdom is to step away from what you know and to discover something new. The disciples could not go back and say, oh, wait a minute. Let's talk about nets and about, how to, bait a hook. No. Jesus invites them to step out of their comfort zone and to step into farming in order to discover that God is at work in this way. A farmer was throwing seeds, small seeds. And it's not about the farmer here or the sower. It really is about the seed. Because Jesus goes on to long detail about the seed. It's the seed that drops into the ground. The sower goes to sleep and wakes up, goes to sleep. And the sower does not know how this happens. But Jesus spends time in this story going on and on about how the seed grows and how the seed begins to bring about life. This sort of botany lesson on the growth of the seed. Why? Because Jesus wants us to understand that the kingdom is an organic growth. And it's part of a process that grows. It calls on us to be patient, to submit ourselves to the rhythm of God's life, not our own hurried perspective of how things should take place. If we're going to go from fishing to farming to learning, from knowing to learning, it requires from us to recognize that there's a rhythm of growth in season, out of season, and you know what? We can rest. The sower rests. In the same way that the seed drops into the ground, the sower also rests and wakes up refreshed for another day. To grow in the kingdom is to recognize that learning and growing takes place even when we don't see it. Who sees the seed at growing underground? Suddenly it sprouts and we realize, wow, there is something here. So Jesus tells these parables so that we could understand that the seed that has been dropped into us is growing. It's growing. Make no mistake about it. But before we turn into the sort of it's growing in us, it's also growing outside in the world. It's growing in those places we least understand. We least can even think about. It's growing in places where justice is being enacted for the sake of those that have been wronged in society. It's growing in the welcome that the church is giving to those who are typically thrown out into the margins of society. It's happening. The kingdom is happening beyond our willing and our knowing and our capacity to stop it. It is growing. It is growing everywhere. It has grown throughout the ages. Women can vote now. Kingdom of God at work, right? Moving away from different ways of being so that justice is taking place, so that people are viewed for not simply for this category, but by their dignity as human beings to choose and to provide choice and to help shape world and society. Yes. Kingdom. We tend to think of kingdom as this abstract idea that matches our doctrinal and theological ideas. But then we discover the God who is at work in places releasing those who have been subject to human trafficking by individuals who spend hours upon hours, day and night, seeking ways to bring people out of the darkness of human trafficking into the freedom and light of justice. And many pay a pretty awful price for stepping into those spaces. It means being people who raise a voice in the midst of injustice or in the midst of a culture where language has been debased and used simply to destroy, to raise our voices and say, wait a minute, this gift of language is a creative power to announce once again the love and grace of Jesus in this world, inviting us to move and march on as the people of this kingdom of grace. It's happening. It's taking place. Maybe in you it's happening by being a bit more patient these days. That's the kingdom at work. You may not know how it's working or but it's there. It's growing. It's maybe getting to that place where you say, you know, I don't think I need to be locked in this conflict with a loved one anymore. Life is more than this conflict. Or, you know, if I've only lived by one side story, by one story in life, what does it mean to open my heart to the stories of others and neighbors, those beyond my comfort zone? What does it mean? And just that question of what does it mean to listen to somebody more attentively rather than shut them out? That's the kingdom at work, that seed growing deep within us. We know not how. It's certainly growing in me as my mother ages, and that awareness now of what it means to take care of someone who needs attention. That's the kingdom growing in me, pulling me beyond what I've known my whole life and now walking alongside brothers and sisters caring for mom, a new capacity for attentiveness and awareness. An advocacy against all the phone calls that she gets, all of the texts and emails that come to her, reminding her to give this, to give that, all of the spam that shows up, seeking to take advantage of an elderly person like my mom. The kingdom at work, seeking justice, the kingdom at work in our lives, asking for forgiveness, granting forgiveness, the kingdom at our dining room table, in our living rooms, with our families, with our hearts. The parable of the seeds is about not only growth, but it's also about fruitfulness. There's a process at work. God is at work within our lives. We proclaim this. Our baptismal covenant invites us to think of the world around us, to be neighbors, to love God and the neighbor. But the harvest time comes, and rather than fill our barns, we're really challenged by this parable to give it away. To give it away. That's hard for us here in America. We worked hard for what we have. Give it away? Are you kidding me? Yes, to find ways to practice the generosity. If you recall, farming in the ancient Near Eastern world was not simply for the farmer to provide for his family. It was for the stranger that would come by who was hungry, for the orphan, for the widow, for the individual in grave need. So the farmer comes. It's harvest time. And the kingdom reveals and calls us to a practice of generosity of heart. A generosity that says, I don't know how this happened, but I'm in the middle of this blessed life. What does it look like to share it rather than hoard it? What does it look like to distribute it rather than hide it? What does it look like to practice the generosity of the kingdom so that the name of Jesus is proclaimed and lifted up, and so that the way of Jesus becomes a light and a path for the many who are seeking a community that does not hold back the goodness of God, but shares it freely with no reserve? For the kingdom of God is like that seed. And a shrub may not look pretty, right? But it gives shelter and a nest for the birds, for those looking for shade and rest, for those in our own family who are seeking peace, who are seeking reconciliation, for those in our circles who are stepping into spaces where increasingly their options are closing. We can be the people who say, you don't have to go at it alone. I will walk with you. Let me share the fruit of God's goodness that is growing and flourishing within me. Parables. We're going to look to many over the course of the next couple of weeks. And my prayer is that you go home and let these stories linger with you in your heart. And ask yourself today, why am I resisting that word? What is it within me that found it hard to even sit with that? Or what has God been doing in my life by leading me to this place or to that situation? How is God helping me grow, even with limited resources or an abundance of resources, in this stage in your life, in our life together? How is the kingdom at work? And how is this kingdom inviting you to grow? Amen.